Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Libero Copper and Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LBC and on the OTCQB under the symbol LBCMF. We are chatting with the CEO, Ian Harris. And Ian, we're going to be focusing on this Makoa project in Colombia because just recently, last week, February 16th, the company announced the commencement of drilling at this Makoa porphyry project in Colombia. One thing to understand is that this project already has a large resource on it. This is Colombia's largest copper deposit, and the company is getting back on the ground here with drills. It's a five-hole program for 5,000 meters. Big picture, though, Ian, what do you want investors to understand about the potential of this Makoa project? I feel like it's been forgotten in many senses that the company even holds this project, but now that you're back drilling it, what's the big picture potential here at Makoa?
Yeah, thanks so much. I love coming on and talking because you guys have seen this whole story and all the excitement about the real work that was going down on the ground to start making sure that this project was launched the correct way. And I'm so excited because, you know, we've delivered on every single one of these steps, right? You know, it all started, you know, I joined January of last year and then talked about the internal value system based on all the lessons learned. And then it was the whole story about we're engaging on the ground. And it was going door to door, having those conversations and listening and listening and listening. And then, you know, we start our geophysics program, we start our soil sampling program. But today, Makoa is drilling. So I agree with you. I don't think that most people understand the size and scale of Makoa because it's been sitting, you know, on the shelf for a little bit. And or people assume that our valuation is based on it already being active. I don't know what's going on. But today, this project is currently being drilled. We're, you know, so it's like all this work that's been done to date is now actually happening. Because Makoa is big, right? I mean, it's already big. It's the biggest copper deposit in Colombia. You have a government and a president, you know, laying down the gauntlet. I want to be the third largest producer of copper in South America. We specifically have meetings just on the copper focus with the government. I actually have one tomorrow. Because it's so important for the country, you know, they're a big oil producer, they're a big coal producer. They know that not only do they have to do the transition to decarbonize their energy and system, but also that all the other countries in the world doing it is going to impact their industry, and they need to make sure that they're ramping up to make that as least painful as possible. They're extremely engaged to make sure that this happens. And it's already 636 million tons. Right? That's around 90,000 tons per day. That would be one of the top 20 biggest mines in the world if it was, you know, operated for 20 years right now. It already contains 4.6 billion pounds of pure copper. It contains 510 million pounds of moly, right? World production of moly is 600 million pounds per year, right? That gives you an idea of the size and scale of the project. But it's also open in all directions. Right. It's just one single soil anomaly that was found many years ago. It was drilled back in 2000. Ended last drilling on this project was 2012. They drilled off that soil anomaly. But that just means that this could be, we could just be touching the tail of an elephant. The Jurassic porphyry belt where I worked previously in Ecuador, right? And like you can think of just a small stamp. You had Fruta del Norte, Mirador, Mirador Norte, Pananza, San Carlos, and Warinza. And I think it's within like 100 kilometer space. Like this is a very prolific belt. And, you know, we basically have that footprint right across the border in Colombia. It's a project that was drilled systematically, right? It wasn't, you know, you'd had a vertical hole, two side holes, and it already has holes in it that are 0.75% equivalent copper over 634 meters. You know, I cannot, you know, you can hear it. I'm so excited about this project, right? I mean, it's already in an amazing project, and it's only going to get better as we learn more. We figure out its fingerprint. We understand the direction it's going. We start tracing these high-grade cores and following it because it's not just defining and re-drilling off the existing deposit. There's still tons of room for this project to continue to grow and only get better.
Well, Ian, to that point, just maybe speak to the audience about, in this kind of a geological setting, those high-grade centers generally appear in clusters. And so far you've got one, but what would it mean for Makoa if you found two or three other clusters? How big could this project get?
Well, as a mining engineer, you know what? It's a good problem to have, right? Because then you're really defining the best of the best in terms of how could this project actually go into production. I honestly believe that the project today is robust enough with the grade it has, the size it has, how disseminated it is, that it's already, you know, checking all the boxes, right? But it only then means that this is the type of the project that everybody puts their eyes on. I think that, you know, a lot of people talk about 1 billion tons. 1 billion tons is what really gets everybody excited. We're already sitting on 636 million tons. So we're like, you know, 63% of the way there. So as you start getting and finding additional clusters, it obviously makes everything more attractive, right? The 10 biggest copper mines in the world, right, were started over 100 years ago. So people, I mean, when you're talking about big investment, they really want to see that these projects have long, long, long legs. You know, they're obviously based off of 20 years, but they have the ability to go on and on. It becomes an extremely attractive project. And I'm sorry, I'm going to like go on a sideways tangent here, right? But because of the energy revolution and the increased demand for electric cars, for solar, and then the additional electrical demand, because you're converting everything from gas to electric vehicles, for example, you know, there's multiple estimations, but the conservative one says we're going to have a gap by 2035. It's, you know, that's not that far away of either 4 million tons or 8 million tons. To put that in perspective, the 10 largest copper mines in the world produce 6 million pounds per year. So we basically have to replace every single one of the 10, not replace, add, you know, the equivalent of the 10 largest mines in the world in the next 10 years, right? So I think that Makoa is an absolute standout because it's checking so many boxes. And then now it's finally moving forward. It's going to be really much way ahead of the curve when people really start opening their eyes and understanding to really put exploration dollars into the copper sector.
So Ian, let's talk about the drill program then. As I said, 5 holes, 5,000 meters. If you already have such a large resource here, what's the overall strategy? What are you hoping to garner from this 5,000 meter program?
You know, we're really trying to complete a lot with just the first few holes. So we have about 13,500 meters planned for the year. And we're really doing this first phase one because we need to answer a lot of questions. This project was last built in 2012. Doesn't sound like that long ago, but really technology has changed dramatically in terms of the sensibility for trace minerals, looking at different ratios, and also looking at the type of alteration that really helped guide your exploration program moving forward, creating the vectors to continue to search for these high-grade cores, but also giving you the fingerprint to identify the additional porphyry centers because of, you know, the ability to be clusters. So at the same time, right, the project is open in all directions. So we're trying to do, you know, answer multiple questions with single holes. The very first hole that we're putting in is actually because these holes were, you know, historical holes were actually very long, one vertical, two side holes. You can imagine the distance at the bottom that these side holes get away from the hole in the center. And some of them hit a small high grade area to the west of the project. Then there's a big center where most of the drilling was done that identified a high grade core that kind of plunges to the northeast. But that's where drilling was done. So one of the first holes we're doing is seeing what's happening between these two high grade centers, which would obviously, if that kind of those high grade centers connect, then it's obviously instantly adding a dramatic amount of resource to the project and also continuing to expand. The second hole does a very similar thing, going the opposite direction. It's a more of a north directional hole, but it's looking at the expansion of that high grade core directly to the east. Right. So it's a step out from the east. Right. And it's seeing, you know, how is this project looking? Is it continuing to grow? Is it continuing to be open? But it's also obviously going to tell us so much information in terms of modern application of exploration techniques and start building that database out on the trace minerals, on the alteration types, et cetera, that will help us build the rest of the exploration program. And the third and fourth hole that we have designed, we still have an extra 1,000 meters in the mix based on the initial results, are actually going to test an additional soil anomaly directly to the east of the project that's really untested. So there's actually a soil anomaly, a little bit actually bigger than the original soil anomaly where the Bacoa project is. And we really want to test that, right? Because it would add so much value. I mean, it's simple math. It could easily be the similar size, similar grades, and it's at lower elevation, which is also very helpful from a design component. So we said, this is something we're going to have to test on this program also. And so all of that, plus the soil sampling programs that we're doing in parallel, plus right now we're doing the inversion work on the geophysics that we flew last year, will allow us to create a whole bunch of new targets. So we're going to be looking at continuing to infill, get the metallurgical information, get the geotechnical information, build our database, continue to work on expansion in all the directions the deposit is open, and test new targets, right? So we're very ambitious, and we want to make sure we are, you know, the experts of what porphyries could look like in this general area, because as you know, we've also picked up 120,000, not picked up, but have put in the request for an additional 120,000 hectares in the zone, right? We are really the first players in this area, and we're taking advantage of it.
Well, Ian, it sounds like you're going to be busy beavers on the surface with all the geotechnical work you're doing and the soil sampling to look for new targets. But if I understand correctly, what the market should focus on with these drill holes is that they are going to be very long holes because they're accomplishing a couple things. One is they're testing areas that are untested. They're looking for new discoveries. And they're also trying to connect different areas together. So these could actually be very large mineralized holes. And that usually gets the market's attention when you're talking about copper. So is that the general idea of what people should anticipate? Or is there anything else you want people to be looking at when these drill holes do get drilled and when the assays do come out?
Yeah, you know, from a geological standpoint, when you have a very long hole and very long intercepts at very good grade, right? It really is telling people and giving people the idea of the size and scale of the deposit. If you have all that copper, that means that it was a very big system pumping a whole lot of copper into it. It can tell you that, wow, there's probably the idea of the additional clusters, et cetera, right? I think that absolutely the market responds really nicely to these types of holes, right? And to be fair, there's only one other company in the world that is currently putting out holes like this, and that's Solaris at Warintza, right? They're the only ones that also have a big monster by the tail on this. They're about 18 months ahead of us in many ways. But I think the other component that people don't understand is that this is in Colombia. We're drilling right now. And once we get that core out of the ground, the turnaround to get results is only 2 weeks. I think a lot of other people are used to companies announcing their drilling and then, okay, they started drilling in July or June. And then, okay, now it's December. We're finally hearing the results. This is something that we've already started drilling. We expect to see results in March on the first drill holes, the first drill hole that we're currently drilling. Right. So this is not something that people are going to have to be waiting around on. And number two, it's not a discovery we have to make. It is already there. We already have a good idea of what this drill hole is going to look like. Right. It's got a high grade core above it. It's got a high grade core below it. And we're really looking at what we're calling the blank zone in between these two high grade cores. But a majority of the hole, we already know what it's going to look or have a good idea of what it's going to look like. And I think it's really going to be a surprise to market. I really don't think that people understand the quality of the project at Makoa.
So figure one in that most recent news release that highlights the hole where it's going through, those two high grade areas and then that blank zone. Ian, you've also mentioned that this deposit is open in all directions. Is there any certain direction you're more enthusiastic about? When will we start to get some insights on just how big this could be by some potentially more aggressive step outs?
So I have a new dog. It was very interesting today because my kids found a laser pointer and it started acting like a cat. And everywhere that little red dot went, they started chasing it. So every time I look at this deposit, I get so excited about the east. Oh, and then I look at the north and I get excited. Oh, and then I look at the west and I get excited. Oh, and then I look at the south and I get excited, right? It's really open in so many directions. You know, the classic northeast east plunge is something that's really known and, defined on this project because that's where the majority of drilling is. So obviously continuing to move it to the east because of the, you know, it brings us down to lower elevations from an engineering perspective. I like, if I look to the west, you're really seeing some really high grade course on some of the, but it just has a couple holes into it. But, you know, really spectacular grades in terms of moly and in copper. And then obviously the continuation to the north and south are also very exciting. So it's really hard. It's really hard. There's so many things on this project, you know, that it's that big soil anomaly sailing directly to the east, the same size and scale is very exciting. And I think that it will continually to be that way, that this project will continually be, you know, having compelling questions that need to be answered. And it's got a lot of running room.
Well, Ian, just one more thing to touch on before we wrap up. And one reason why I'm encouraged as a shareholder of the company is your focus on the community relations. It's not just lip service to you. It's not just a checkbox for ESG points. It's the real deal. And because of lessons you've learned at other projects, you put a little information in this recent press release about some of the things you're doing with the community. Could you maybe speak for a minute or two on that and how that ties into the company philosophy?
Yeah, I really couldn't help myself because we've worked so hard on this on the last year. And one of the real reasons I joined Libero was specifically the big, big part was this Mocoa project based on my experience at the Mirador project in Ecuador. And all those lessons learned and saying, wouldn't it be amazing to restart a project from the beginning with these concepts way ahead of time? Right? About building real connections with as many things as you can right from the beginning. And that means it's not a policy. It means it's not because Ian said so. It's because each individual employee that's working inside the company also believes in the same, right? I've told a story, I think last time about the boots. That wasn't because I said, you better go find boots from Mocoa, right? It was because one employee said, you know what? Somebody's got to make boots or has the ability to make boots. And we found a guy who says, well, I've never made safety boots before, but I'd like to. And we started with six pairs, and now it's grown to 124. He's created new employees. He's now looking at getting the company's help to get microloans to do expansion. You know, that is a guy who is dreaming. And that's something that comes up a lot when we talk to people in the area. Like, thank you, because we are starting to dream again. Right. We found a group that, you know, we were looking at our temporary camp and we needed plates. And there's a guy, you know, another, it was a project engineer. It wasn't, you know, somebody in purchasing or accounting or anything like that who says, hey, I think I know this indigenous project that they're making biodegradable plates out of plantain leaves, which are banana leaves. Right. And we went to go see them. They're like, wow, this project, you know, the NGO left and it's kind of like died. And, you know, this is actually the ability to actually get it because we've always wanted to do it. And here's a real chance of making it because we really need these things, right? Those are real connections and making sure that like it's like an army of ants where they're always connecting. 100% of our personal protective equipment is sourced locally. We're making our own boots on the ground. We're fabricating all the uniforms for each one of the employees are, you know, fabricated, you know, made in Mocoa. All our food is sourced locally. It's one thing when you have a camp with 20 groups that want to do catering, but when you have 300 people, it's too late, right? You know, okay, first we get them going and then we start working on your hygiene certifications and all these other requirements so that when you're a really big camp, they're ready for it, right? And so that means starting right from the beginning. It means communicating before you do things, right? I mean, I have conversations all the time with mining companies that say, you know what, we're really working hard because we're really trying to get to a system where the community listens to us. I'm like, well, you don't get it. You know, it's about listening and listening and listening and listening and listening and listening and taking all that knowledge and incorporating it into your programs. We heard it over and over and over again. It's not, you know, it's not just about getting employment. We want jobs and future for our children. Right. If my kid goes to school and wants to be an accountant, I actually want him to have the ability to have a job because Mocoa, there's not opportunities and they have to go to Bogota or Mocoa. Right. So we listened to that and we said, you know what, we're going to have to do training programs. They might not have the same capacity, but we need to start hiring people locally. So we have 87% of all our employees now are from Mocoa, and it includes the project engineers, geologists, human resources, administration, safety, logistics, social, environmental, forestry management are the type of people that we're hiring right now directly from the local community because that was important. And we listened and we heard it over and over and over again. And it's been really amazing before our first drill hole was ever drilled, getting that system into place, right? And it means that we have real relationships, authentic relationships built in. And it means that it's not just the employees we hire, it's also the individuals involved in the project. And it's really an amazing, fun place to go. I just visited Mocoa last week. And it's so enjoyable to go there because you actually see the positive impact that it's creating. It's not just some photo for some marketing or some ESG report saying how great we are. It's really happening from the ground up. And it's because there's this real commitment from every single one of the employees to our philosophy and to our values.
All right, Ian, we will wrap it up here. Just another quick note, the company did announce a closing of $8.3 million financing at the tail end of January. So the company has cash in the bank to move through with really what is just a phase one program here at Makoa. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ian regarding any of the work that Libero Copper and Gold is doing, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. In full disclosure, Shad and myself are both shareholders of Libero. Ian, thanks again for your time, and we'll follow up on the back of some more news.
Thanks so much.